This is nothing new. Most of us, we may have heard that expression, no condition is permanent. And there's a good reason for that. One of the reasons is so that we don't get cocky. But people don't recognize that. If things are going well for you, if you are living in affluence, you have good health, your children are behaving well, your spouse is behaving well, your neighborhood is safe, quote unquote, your country has not witnessed war. It is easy to assume that's what is happening in the rest of the world. And then to go into judgment when you see anything, then like, what is wrong with them? How can they get their act together? And that's what our country, this United States, is known for. We forget we're not perfect. But if you travel overseas and talk to others, they will tell you, oh, you can tell when Americans are visiting. Even the government, the United States government, will tell other government how to behave. We never thought we would have January 6th because that doesn't happen. This is the motherland of democracy, We don't do that. We don't beat each other up in Congress. We don't say you are a liar, That decorum is not, that's not for us. That's for those who are upcoming and all of that. Quote unquote, we might be the most powerful country in the world. But if we don't use it well, and we continue to put each other down and look at each other as evil, you can count on it. We will not be the most powerful country in the world. As the scripture says, nothing can harm you. Unless it comes from the inside. No outside power can destroy you. They might come and up. But once we start destroying each other, then we leave our door open for others to come in. So it's the same thing for each individual. Things might be happening that we don't like, but not until we claim it. It has no power over us. That's why we say, do not focus on the picture you see. There is more to that. You impose the picture you want on that which shows up. Because sometimes something we think is evil leads to good, to goodness. Example, none of us would be here if our mothers didn't give birth to us. But when our mothers are going through the labor to put us out here, well, if you've asked the women, well, they tell you how painful it can be and all the things they have to go through. But then the child comes and the mother forgets all about the pain. Oh, my little, my baby, my loving. At that moment, that condition has changed. It's not permanent. The pain, the labor pain is not forever. It has its own duration. Now imagine what it took for that soul to come to this world. And then the mother kisses her, nourish, not just does all these things. The father, everybody is helping out. And we expect that child will turn out to be a good kid. What do you think Hitler's mother and father did? They thought he would be a good soul, right? And that's why we do not celebrate. Yeah, we acknowledge the birth of each, soul when they come. Actually, in the metaphysical world, there is no birth, there is no death, like our song said today. father, mother, you don't have. Because as spirit, nobody gave birth to you. The conception we think happens, not that spirit coming. That's just the vehicle. So if you're not giving birth to, you cannot die. That's why spirit lives up. So we think the child will turn out to be a great child and all of that. And then the child turns out to be a murderer. Or someone who wants to drop the bomb and kill everyone. Or someone wants to drown another child, a bully. I'm sure if we look at it, Hitler's mom probably wasn't a bad person at all, not the father. But they tend to blame the parents. A soul comes on his own because he was never given birth, he doesn't die. So he comes with his own character, his own personality. Yeah, the environment might have influence, but the core of it is on that soul. And if you think God created Hitler to be a murderer, then you don't know God. Along the way, that soul acquired that tendency to be inhumane. Because God is perfect good. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to enjoy life. That's why we say, if things are not going well for you, don't attach yourself to that difficulty. Focus on God. Bring God in. And then focus on what you want so that that difficulty may go away. The only thing permanent in all creation is the one who created all, and that's God. It doesn't matter whether you are fully realized like Jesus. Eventually, they all want to dissolve into the spirit. They don't even want that individual thing. So whatever challenges we are facing as a nation, remember one time when they say Occupy Wall Street? Well, is anybody talking about that now? It has its own season. COVID, wipe your finger, wipe this. COVID is behind us. Everything has an expiration date. As long as we don't expire ourselves. Not God giving us that expiration date. We are the one who puts that in. So if you don't like what you see, make a change, because nothing is permanent. And if you like what you see, embrace it, enjoy it for what it is, because that also is not permanent. Because no matter how successful, quote and unquote, human successes, every human soul, we have to go back on where they come from. They can't drag whatever earthly success with them. If Walmart, Sam Walton, is still here today, he will still be the richest man in the world. And he will be for a long time. And his wealth that was distributed among his heirs, they were for a long time the richest family in the world. But where is Sam Walton today? He's been long gone. And if we hold on to something that is temporary, then we are not doing ourselves, you know, any favors. Because when it's temporary, it has to go away. It cannot stay, cannot stay, cannot stay. So we owe it to ourselves as a soul. We are here to enjoy what God wants us to have. And stop deceiving yourself that, you know, life's supposed to be difficult and harmful. No. God wants you to live an abundant life, to enjoy everything. But we are the one who has made it difficult. The life you and I are living now didn't start in this incarnation. We brought it along. And the story that we will talk at the end of this week will illustrate that. If you are not fully realized yet, you can make effort to get there. That doesn't mean they will still send you on an errand back yet to come and help those who are working on it. But if you want to live a better life tomorrow, we're not even talking after you've passed away. You want to live a better life tomorrow. You start with your thoughts today. Today will determine whether you will have a good sleep tonight at this moment. Because if you start thinking that, oh, the whole world is coming to an end, oh, this is going to happen to me, to my family, well, guess what? Everything is energy. You will attract it to yourself. And then you wonder why we are having nightmares. Because whatever is happening in this country now is nightmare. But we think is the whole of it. No, it's just part of what is happening. And that also is not permanent. So let us live as God's child. Embrace the goodness you are, because you are not the sum total of your weaknesses and shortcomings. And we love to dwell on our weaknesses and shortcomings. Oh, we swim in it. We can swim faster than the sharks and the whale of the ocean. We throw the weight and we wrap ourselves all around it. And then we wonder why things are not changing. And then if we live in that positive attitude, we live in it for 1 minute. We move on back to our, oh yeah, and having judgment on ourselves and others. And we wonder why things are anchored. Even though they are not permanent, eventually they have to go away because it is not of God's making. Whatever you seek, wholeheartedly, emotionally, you will attract it. Although sometimes it does not happen all the time. Why? Because the love of God, we just intercept and push it away. But they allow us to get a taste of our own medicine. Don't take my word for it. If you want that goodness in your life, keep focusing on it and see whether you won't reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. It will come to you. The only thing where we lack, a lot of us lack, is we don't have patience. We just like we love to swim in our own negativity and we think positively just like that. It's the same thing we do with patience and faith. We trust for 1 minute and then the rest is like, oh, what have you done for me lately? Well, this is not going to happen. Oh, I'm just a poor church rat, you know. But even churches and temples now, the rats there are eating well because people bring cookies and all of that to church. Unlike in the old days, you don't get food there. So that's why they say as far as the church rat. You will notice that people who go out looking for trouble always finds them because they are so focused on. That's why they call them hooligans, you know, thugs. They don't see anyone they can pick a fight with, or they can judge. It's the same thing we talk about people are pessimists. Oh, they love to, nothing good ever happens. Well, they have to swim in their own ocean. So a pessimist, before he even starts, is already defeated because he's defeated by his own thought, oh, I can't make it happen. Well, then you're not going to make it happen. Some of you've heard me say this. Even if I die today, well, since I'm going to be cremated, so apparently I'm not going to be ill. But even if I'm cremated and spirit said, okay, it's time to fulfill what you've been yearning for, guess what? That powder that I turn into will rise and turn into a physical form again, and I will enjoy every second of it. So death has no power over me, over what I want in to be one with God and to be able to serve so that all of us can enjoy God wholeheartedly. So not until they cremate you, don't give up on the good you want. But that good must serve the purpose of God for you. That will be our next talk, God willing, next Wednesday. Because we tend to have the tendency, we want God to feed into our own mold what we want, instead of saying, well, God, let me feed into the mold of what you want. Some of us may have known people who love to say that they never have any luck. Well, then they wouldn't have any luck. The guy that just won the lotto from Oregon here, from what we read about him, well, he's been going for cancer treatment for 7 years. I guess he never gave up on that. And when he went to play that lotto, he said he prayed that he would be blessed. So imagine if he's a pessimist, say, oh, I never had any luck. Well, then he wouldn't have won. But he never did that. And then God showed up, because that's the truth about life. You never know when God will show up in your life and give you exactly what you want and put a little more sprinkles on it, like ice cream thing, you know. I bet you if he had just won 1 million to me, he would have been happy. He's better than what, you know. But he never thought. None of them. And when you look at people, quote unquote, successful materially, none of them ever thought they would get to the place they did. That belongs to God. So if you choose of your own free will to close the door against what God wants to bless you with, don't blame God for that. Because no matter what we go through, God knows, even the challenges, which is supposed to empower us to wake us up, God already put an expiration date on our difficulties. So no condition is permanent. God say, okay, my child, you may not know this, but I'm going to make you go through this so that you can discover that I have given you all the power you need, all that sense of creativity, that intuition that is in you. You don't need to worry about that. Because how do you discover your strength if if it doesn't show? And God said, yeah, at this time, the difficulty will be over. The only one who can prolong it is ourselves. Because we choose to be pessimists. We choose not to follow the rays of light of God. We follow our own rays of darkness. Because that's what it is when we're beating each other or beating ourselves up. So we need to alter our habits. Whenever something happens that you don't like, say to yourself, no condition is permanent. God's got this. And then follow that. No matter what, no matter how crazy it may sound to you, well, I've been saying no condition is permanent and things hasn't changed for me. Well, if you said that, then you maybe at that moment, before you even thought of that, maybe that's the moment God wants to turn the key of positive water to come. Haven't we had some people, they play Lotto for a long time and then one day it shows up, or somebody doesn't even know, they just go and buy the ticket. Maybe they never even play. Even though we don't know what challenges they faced. So whether it's on the job, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your friends, your families, your neighbors, if you don't like what is happening around you, say, God, I know this is not permanent because you are in charge of my life. This will also go away. Just like the day dawns and then the sun sets. In our spiritual teachings, some of us have learned that conditions and tendencies can always be changed by a change in our own conviction. And that's why if somebody tells you you will not amount to anything, don't fight them, just say thank you. But your own conviction, that's what's going to change it. And then they will lay down like, oh, how did you know you were going to tell them? Well, God knew. You don't even need to rub it into their face. Nobody, you should never allow anyone to take away your power. And you should never allow anything to take away your God-given power to live a good life, a happy and peaceful life. No one has that power. Because Jesus will not want to take away your happiness. Will Buddha want to take away your happiness? Will Baba Moses want to take away your happiness? No. Because the one who created you and I won't even take away your happiness. So why should you allow anyone or anything to do that? It is never too late for us to change our thought forms. If they are dragging you down, it is never too late for you to receive what you want. And what started this whole conversation was today. I was trying to get something done, and my hand was hurting. I couldn't get it done. I could even see the blisters. But I said, Lord, I need help here. So I tried some things, it didn't work. I said, Lord, I really need help. Please help. And then the next thing, like, okay. Sometimes you don't hear the voice, you just do it. You know, something is pushing you to do something. Then I did it before. Then that whole thing changed. And I said, Lord, and I had a smile on my face. Then I said, no condition is permanent. Because my will is not enough to change that. But once I invite God in, because God is always open, he has his door open, it's up to us to come in so that we can claim what God wants for us. Then I was able to change that thing. And whatever else I had applied that didn't work, then I said, oh, how could I have forgotten that? The inspiration came. And then everything went. I still have my blisters. But even the blisters will go away. All I have to do is look for some Vaseline or something. And we've heard people sometimes say, I believe firmly in the spiritual teaching. And I've done so for years, but I've never been able to make it work. Isn't that strange? And sometimes they say with, you know, like, yeah, with that dignity, with that. How can you rev? How can you swim in your own negative thoughts? If you say you believe in a spiritual teaching, you need to live it. Otherwise, it's going to work. You can read all the books you want. You can hear all the talks you want. But if you don't put it into practice in your own life, then you don't get the benefits of it. To me, it's like when people come to a retreat and they expect the retreat to just validate what they already know. Then what's the purpose of the retreat? Does it even make sense? Retreat so that you learn something new. You are open to other things. And if new things are shared with them, some of them, they panic. Some of them are like, oh, well, I don't know about this. So if you hear spiritual teachings and you are not putting in your practice, you're not doing yourself any favor. You can never grow. You and I can never grow. Then all that Jesus, Moses, all of them said is just, you know, is the truth, is there, but we won't know. They say practice makes perfect, isn't it? There's a man, this is a story now. It's not that I know the man, but I know someone similar to that. There's a man who used to boast that he had an ailment, illness that nobody could heal. It seems that he had successfully defied every school of healing known to the public and had emerged triumphantly, still in possession of his affliction. As it happens, his wife did heal him later on by prayer alone. But she was a patient and persevering woman. Not because the gurus, the teachers couldn't heal him, but because he has chosen to swim big time. He was the whale in his own ocean. From the stories referred in scriptures, if you don't believe God can do something, then God leaves you to stew in your own, you know. Didn't Jesus say, by that, because of your faith, by your faith, you've been healed? That man needs to, you know, kiss his wife's feet and thank God. We are that man who goes around thinking, oh, yeah, nobody can heal me. You know, nobody, you know. I'm the only thing, you know, this thing is happening to me alone. So if you go about saying or thinking that you cannot make the teaching work, which means you do not expect to, you are really making a law for yourself to that effect. And you should never be tired of reminding yourself that when you make a mental law for yourself, you will live under it. But whatever you put your emotion to and say, this will not work, guess what? It will not work. Even God will not make it work because God said, well, you don't think I can make it, so why bother? Not until you shift. And that's why I say, even if I die, and there's an opportunity for me to get fulfilled what I want, yes, I will rise up again and I will enjoy that because I am not closing the door against my happiness or my joy or my fulfillment or what I want to achieve in life. That oneness of God, no. To wrap this up, here's a story. Two men, you would think when scriptures talk about stories, you would think there are no women in the world. I thought of changing it to women, but because usually they point to all the they think the women engineer all the bad things. So let the men take the responsibility of their action. So two men, they were born in the same village. They were both poor. One of them, you know, because there are poor and there are poor. So the ones that are really, really poor will still come to his door looking for food or water, something to have. And he will share whatever he can. And then when they leave, he will say to God, Lord, please help me, bless me, so that when people come to my door, I don't want them to leave hungry. Because he doesn't have much, he can only, you know. So whatever is shared, if others come later, he can only give them water. Sometimes he doesn't even have enough water. So this pains him deeply that he would like to be able to help so that people don't go empty-handed. Now the other one, I guess it's time for... The other man in the village, who is also poor, just rails like, why can't people help him, you know? Why are things not going well for him? And this and that, you know. It was all about him. He wasn't thinking of others. So even when they come, he will say, well, I have nothing to give. Well, once he says he has nothing to give, of course, he's not going to have anything to give. So when it was time, finally, the beloved God showed up and asked each of them, what do you want when you come back in another lifetime? Remember I said at the beginning of this conversation, the life we're living now is what we created before. So the first man said, Lord, when I do come back, I want you to give me the means so that nobody will ever go hungry or thirsty, that I'll be able to help. And the other one said, Lord, when I come back, I want to have all the money and everything, and I don't want to give anybody anything. I don't want them coming. I'm not going to give them anything. I just want it for myself, all myself, me and me alone. Well, so they went home, and then when it's time, they sent them back to another place. But the same two souls came. They lived in the same place. The one who wanted to help others became the richest one in that village. And the one who just wanted it for himself, he was poorer than the church rat. So let us sit on that. Because the one who later on become the poorest in the village, because his mentality is, he thinks his condition is permanent. Because if he didn't think the condition is permanent, he wouldn't have spoken that all he wants is just for himself. He would love to share. So generosity of thoughts. When you are generous in a positive thoughts towards yourself, we attract the same thing. And in that generosity, you'll be able to share and lift others up. Because you will find that people are unhappy, like to spread that unhappiness to others. I don't want to be a person like that. And you find that because this is so personal to me. When I lived in California, the days when things are going well for me, it may not even be material things. I just know I'm in that state. You can't touch me, even though I was in retail business then. When I'm feeling great, it's like a candy. I want to give it to others. Even when they are insulting me, I don't even recognize the insult. Hey, how are you doing? Good morning. Someone said, what's so good about this morning? Well, maybe you don't think it's good, but for me, it is good. I'm spreading good news. Whatever you give, it comes back. Whatever thoughts you choose to sit on, you attract it. So let us live well. Let us live in that positive sharing. Not to poison people with our negative thoughts, but positive thoughts. Spread it all around. Let it be like the fragrance of the sun. You know how all of us are happy when the sun shines in. And then that's how we will live our lives. And we will know, even as we go around spreading that, we will know what whoever is experiencing difficulty, their condition is not permanent. Because God is using you to spread the goodness of love that will touch their lives. May we continue to enjoy the blessing. Amen.
Amen.